Okay, 3, 2.
Hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacey on Sputnik Radio. As the race to replace Obama heats up, one question is, will Obama alley-oop his Asia pivot to Hillary? Or will Trump steal the ball and dribble toward isolationism? Obama's Asia pivot, if you recall, was announced in 2012 and has so far resulted in an escalation of tensions with China. And so we've seen threatening flyovers, unsafe intercepts, and strike group showdowns in the South China Sea. So what happens with the next U.S. president? Donald Trump says the U.S. doesn't need to be enemies with China and Russia, while Hillary Clinton has floated the idea of Victoria Nuland as Secretary of State. Enough said. On the economic front, the 8th round of the U.S.-China Strategic and Economic Dialogue 2 weeks ago saw allegedly capitalist America berating communist China to curb industrial output. What next for the U.S.-China relations? Stacey.
Very good question, Max. It also, you know, China topped the agenda at Bilderberg a week or two ago as well. So China is on everybody's mind. And as we turn into this new U.S. election season, of course, we have Donald Trump threatening them with all sorts of trade wars. Hillary Clinton, we don't know, but I'm assuming as she's a neocon and she's going to have a continuation of Barack Obama's policies, she'll continue with the so-called Asia pivot, which, as you mentioned, has seen a buildup of sort of hostilities where it's almost on the verge of sort of accidental military action against each other.
Right. Well, you know, China was let into the World Trade Organization, and that immediately caused that sucking sound you heard of American jobs going to China. So now people in America are trying to figure out how to unwind that World Trade Organization inclusion, but China is trying to get themselves better represented in the SDR, the basket from the IMF, the currency that the IMF floats, because it looks like as the global banks head into more dire straits, another global bailout is going to be required. And in fact, the IMF might orchestrate. They use their currency, the SDF. China's trying to get more representation in that basket. So in other words, the current malaise is fighting yesterday's war. You know, China's rocketing forward. China's looking to dominate. And they've got all the financial tools to work with. They've got a huge reserve account. They've got lots to play with.
Well, as I mentioned, it is, of course, the political season in America, which means we saw, as you mentioned, there was the U.S.-China Strategic and Economic Dialogue only 2 weeks ago, and we had this remarkable headline from that, U.S. to press China to curb industrial output. So Treasury Secretary Jacob J. Lew was in Beijing, and he's asking China, and here is a representative of this so-called premier capitalist country telling the heads of the communist country that you need to curb industrial output because it's you know, causing all sorts of friction and loss of jobs in America.
Well, that's an interesting echoing throughout history. Remember during the opium wars, I believe, you know, the idea was that China wasn't importing enough. And here you have another echo of that. With this trade action going on. So this has been, these dynamics haven't been in play for hundreds of years, Stacey.
It has been in play for hundreds of years. In fact, I read recently that John Kerry's family, his maternal grandfather, their fortune came from the Opium War. They were based out of Shanghai, I think. And, but what about China? What do they think? And of course, in the U.S., all the cable news channels will tell you what Vladimir Putin thinks or what, China thinks, or what, you know, it always lends credence to what other nations think about. They make up things about what they think about who should be the next president of the United States. And over at the China Money Report, we have Dan Collins. He has a headline which says, China scared to death of a Trump presidency, .. but not for reasons you would expect. Dan Collins of the China Money Report. Why is China scared to death of a Trump presidency?
Yeah, China is very concerned with the Trump presidency for mainly the realization, I think, on the Trump campaign, as well as, I'd say, the Sanders campaign, is that the U.S. has been ripped off economically for decades by most of its trading partners, but in particular in East Asia with China, not only China, but Korea and Japan. Said it many times, Japanese won't buy Korean cars, Koreans won't buy Japanese cars, and they sure as heck won't buy American cars. They have set up non-tariff trade barriers to protect their own markets, which has led to the deindustrialization of the United States for all intents and purposes. Now, China makes more steel in 6 weeks than the United States makes all year. So what's been going on behind the scenes with the Trump campaign, I have from good sources, is that they've already reached out to them and asking ahead of time of what they think is going to happen. And their biggest concern is the U.S. corporate tax rate. So the U.S. system itself is broken. We have the highest tax rate in the world, corporate tax rates, outside of North Korea, except we don't actually collect any tax. So most of multinationals, the corporate America, have now turned the American consumer into just retail and sales distribution in the United States, and all of the manufacturing, all the jobs is done outside of the United States. And that will continue until the United States gets somewhat competitive on tax rates. So there's no reason, no one's going to put a plant in the United States at 38% tax because it gets stuck there. So they have now, see, the system we all live in right now is set up your plant in China or Mexico and send the goods into the United States and keep the taxes offshore.
Yeah, it's interesting, this tax question, because take a company like General Electric. They file a 70,000-page tax return, and they pay no tax. So in one view, the U.S. corporations pay a tax that can be measured against other countries' tax rates. But when you drill into the reality of the situation, it's not really symmetrical across the corporate landscape, and you have incredible tax abuse, tax loopholes. So I'm not sure how that is going to factor into trying to level playing field by looking at the tax rates as such. It's such a crude number. It's like the jobs number. They say the unemployment number is whatever they say it is, 5.5%. And yet we know that that's completely fictitious. They don't actually count the people that are unemployed. So is there any finer detail that can be applied to this to get kind of deeper into it?
Well, when you look at the Chinese the manufacturing, which has been obviously boomed in the last 15 to 20 years, they have 0% tax rate for 3 years, and then they charge 15% after that. In most cases, corporations have already set up companies in Hong Kong, BVI, to where you have your manufacturing plant in China, you ship the goods directly to the United States, and then you do a paper transaction in Hong Kong. So you basically, the tax avoidance is massive, and it's basically global labor arbitrage, which most of the large, big multinational companies have done. The small companies, which are the big job creators, sell to the big companies, and those big companies have all left. They're all now in China and Mexico. And that's why you see, as you just mentioned, the job statistics. The United States has 100 million people who are of working age but not employed, but yet we somehow don't count them as unemployed.
Yeah, and of course, what we see with that tax rate of 38%, the corporate tax rate in America, what it does prevent is it prevents competition. So what you're saying is China has a 0% tax rate for the first 3 years. So that's for the major, giant, hundreds of billions of dollars, international, global, multinationals, as well as the small mom and pop company that starts up. America, if you're a small mom and pop company, you are hit with a 38% corporate tax rate because you do not yet have the earnings or the income to buy some senators and also have some offshore entities. So that the threat is that there's no threat from American corporations. But in terms of the actual process that we're going through now, is one remarkable thing is not only have our jobs been exported, many American jobs exported to China, but you're now actually seeing all the Chinese wealth driving Americans out of their homes and cities where still some jobs remain. So we do have some high-paying jobs available in New York City and in San Francisco, but Chinese money is driving up the house prices there because they have so much money. There's a 1.5 billion people there with a lot of money, and they're making it impossible for Americans to actually move back to where the jobs are.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a global export boom of Chinese capital now. There's so much money in China. People really underestimate this. I mean, you can't get a decent apartment in Shanghai now for less than 3 million U.S. So, I mean, when the Chinese investors look abroad, everywhere else pretty much looks cheap. There's been so much wealth creation in China. I mean, we've seen wages go up. I mean, talking just for factory level people, you've seen wages go up four to five times in the last 10, less than 10 years. So China has reached middle class. 20% are now considered global middle class. And as you said, there's so many people and there's such a large export of capital now going around buying up assets that is actually, it's happening in real estate. It's happening in corporations as well.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah. It's a new show on Sputnik Radio.
Now, it's driving political unrest in America, as seen through the vote for Trump and seen as basically also the riots that are happening at political events, which is something that we haven't really seen since the 1960s in America. Now, is this, you know, uniting with that whole Asia pivot? Because that seems to be in the last few months of the Obama administration. He seems to be escalating that Asia pivot, which is really a military response. It's sending the U.S. naval fleets over toward China. And we have seen only like little glimpses in our headlines in the West about these almost like military conflicts that break out between like some Air Force jet and the Chinese Air Force jet. So what is the Chinese perception on what's happening there?
That situation is getting worse and worse. It's almost daily news coming out. I think the Japanese Air Force intercepted Chinese jets 40 times last month. It's getting worse and worse, this dispute over in the South China Sea. You know, I've predicted for a couple of years now that we're going to see some pretty sort of major conflict that happens there. In China, there's not too much focus on that issue, but they are very nationalistic in many ways, and they're not going to accept anybody telling them what to do in that area of the world.
Now, Donald Trump says that the United States does not need to be enemies with China. So he's setting himself up as the opposite of what Hillary Clinton, as a continuation of the Barack Obama presidency, maintains. Does China believe him? Do you think this is true? Should we be trading, you know, should we just be friends? And this is the old American policy from hundreds of years ago, is that we should just trade with the world, not make enemies.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in China wants conflict with the United States, especially the government. They're making too much money off them. You know, China has a 13% tariff duty rate against the United States right now. We have a 2%. I always find it interesting when we talk about, oh, there's going to be a trade war. Most of the world already has a trade war against the United States. It's been going on for decades. And I think Trump is probably the first one to mention it. And until the Washington elite wake up to this fact that there is no such thing as free trade, it doesn't exist, until they wake up to that fact, we're not going to be able to get jobs back into the United States.
What about the man on the street attitude toward the rise of Trump over there in China? Is he talked about? Are people talking about it? He's quite a different political creature than we've seen.
Yeah, I think the man on the street view from China is actually are interested in Trump because of the type of celebrity past he's had and his wealth. They admire that type of person in China. So you'd think that, oh, they're anti-Trump because he wants to put up tariffs against China. But in reality, the man on the street in China are mostly concerned with their own economy, their own jobs, and just view kind of from an outside perspective what's happening in the United States.
Well, your opinion is quite interesting because you divide your time between China and America. And so you see that both sides of the economic equation, and you're sounding like what Warren Buffett said. He said, there is a class war and my class is winning. You're saying there is a trade war and China's winning. China's been the one that has been unfairly trading, essentially, you know, that America's acting like buffoonish and being like, yeah, we're all free trade, no tariffs, no nothing, no, like, just send our jobs there and expect that it's all going to be okay.
Yeah, and we do this in many areas, not only in our economic policy, but our foreign policy. We go around the world with agreements and we get people to sign stuff as that we would do in West, you know, in the West, and nobody really pays attention to it. They said, yeah, sure, I'll sign whatever you want. But then they just do whatever they want in terms of their economic, their trade policies, their manufacturing policies. So, you know, U.S. needs to pay attention why, you know, 70 or 80% of the vehicles in the United States have to be imported. It just doesn't make sense. Why the United States can't make a television, a radio, a phone, you know, why have we lost 70,000 factories in the last decade and a half? There's root causes behind this, and until we realize badgering China about stuff will not do anything, but fixing our own policies in the country will.
That's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Dan Collins of the China Money Report.com. Until next week, Bye, y'all.